The first thing I learned was that bear cubs grow up a lot faster than human babies. The second thing was that they shift randomly. Luckily, Ruby was born as a human baby, but she first shifted into a furry little cub mere hours after birth. I haven't figured out if I can somehow nudge her shift. It would make life so much easier. As it is, she can only be fed when she's human. Her bear fangs would make mincemeat out of my boobs if I tried to nurse her. And I treasure my boobs far too much for that. Not just me. My men, too. Right now, she's suckling on my right breast, happily drinking her fill. It's strange that I only have milk when I'm human. When I'm in my bear form, my teats are empty. The situation has turned life complicated. Finn sits down next to me, groaning as his back hits the hard back of the sofa.
"Shush," I whisper. "She's finally stopped crying."
Immediately, he stills. Ruby's been crying all night, so to have her calm and content like she is now is a little miracle in itself. I think she's teething, but I'm not sure. There's no guide about the needs of a bear shifter baby. The guys weren't much help either. None of them have dealt with cubs before. Shortly after they were born, the bear shifter women stopped having children, so they never had a chance to have siblings. Arnold and Bertrand have tried to find information in their books, but there's not much they've discovered. Certainly not a what to do when your baby shifts before being fed guide. I think Ruby is hungry a lot, but there's not much we can do except try and keep her close to my boobs whenever she's human. According to Bertie, my daughter may be able to eat solid food as a cub in a few months' time, but that feels like ages away. We've tried giving her small pieces of meat, but she generally just looks at them as if she's offended by the idea of having to eat something that isn't her mum's milk.
"It's my turn," Finn whispers. "Once she's done, get some sleep. You look like you need it."
I nod gratefully. I've been up all night. Even though the guys try and care for Ruby as much as they can, walking around the house with her in their arms, rocking her when she can't sleep, they can't do the most essential bit of the job, feeding her. So whenever she wakes up as a human baby, they also have to wake me. It's been torture, and she's only 3 months old. I've never been this exhausted. I don't know how women do it who don't have 4 caring mates. My appreciation for mothers has risen dramatically ever since giving birth, especially my own mother. Ruby begins to get restless again, and I move her to my other breast. She doesn't try to drink. Seems like she's had enough. "Good girl," I mutter and hand her over to Finn. He takes her into his arms, expertly supporting her head. His eyes glow as he looks down at her. Just like the other three, he's besotted with his daughter. Whenever she smiles, his entire face lights up. I love watching them, but I know I need to catch up on some sleep. I'm no use to Ruby and the guys in my current state. I don't even know how long it's been since I stayed in bed for more than 3 hours or so. Please let her grow up fast. Please let me sleep. I bend down to give her a quick kiss on the forehead, then do the same to Finn, except that I kiss his beautifully soft lips.
"See you later," he says with a wink. "Sleep well."
I nod and slowly move to the bedroom. It's empty. None of my men are around. I think Torben and Hun are hunting, while Ran is on yet another expedition to find baby supplies in one of the houses on the island. So far, all he's found are some clothes for 3 or 4-year-olds, far too big for Ruby. Luckily, Arnold turned out to be a master sewer, and he's been busy sewing baby clothes for his niece. That's what they call her, their niece. We've made them her honorary uncles, while Alice calls herself their aunt.
"I want to run,"
Alice complains as if she'd heard me think her name.
"I'm too tired."
"You're always tired,"